I invite you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, if you're a guest with us this morning, we recently finished working our way through the book of Nehemiah, and now we're doing a more topical study. And so we're going to be flipping back and forth to several different verses in our series entitled God's Purposes. And we're looking at God's divine intent behind various things that he has for us in life. We've looked at God's purposes for marriage, and we looked at God's purposes for work. Next Sunday, we're going to be looking at God's purposes for sickness. So I encourage you to be here for that one. And this morning, we're going to be looking at God's purposes for prayer. And we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 6. When I worked at Nucor Steel, a place my dad retired from, during my summers out of college, I carried with me a Gerber multi-tool. It was a pair of needle-nose pliers, but it was so much more than that. It was basically this small little toolbox you could carry in the palm of your hand. In addition to being a pair of pliers, there were various screwdrivers, there were knives, a file, a ruler, and other things of that sort. This tool was so helpful because it was multifunctional, did more than one thing. In a real sense, prayer is kind of like that Gerber multi-tool. It's this spiritual tool that God gives to us that does more for us in our walk with him than we often realize or think about. Prayer at its most basic level is just talking with God, having a conversation with God. And I think that's kind of where we stop in our understanding of prayer. But God intends so much more for prayer in our lives than just thinking about it, just checking in to just talk from time to time. The Bible teaches us that prayer does a lot in our lives. God intends for prayer to do a lot in our lives. And so we're going to look at a lot of those things that God gives prayer to us for, how it functions in our lives for our spiritual well-being. So before we do that, though, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to dive into Scripture. Father, your word teaches us that prayer does so much in our lives. God, that you intend to use it for more than just one purpose. And so, God, help us to understand why it's so important. Lord, why we should be actively engaged and taking seriously times of prayer with you. And we pray it all in Jesus' matchless name. So prayer affirms to us, or Scripture affirms to us, that prayer does a lot in our lives. So what does prayer do? Well, number one, what I want you to see in Matthew chapter 6 is that prayer allows us to fellowship with God. Prayer allows us to fellowship with God. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, the larger context, this is Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has called people to repent and to believe in him as the promised king that God has sent into the world. And when we do that, when we turn from sin and trust in him, it's going to lead to all kinds of changes in our lives. And Matthew chapters 5 through 6 shows us the ethic, the way a person lives when they've submitted to King Jesus in their lives. And when we get to chapter 6, Jesus is teaching the disciples about prayer, what to do and what not to do. And if you look quickly over verses 1 through 5, you'll see Jesus is teaching them how not to pray. They're not to pray as the hypocrites, the religious leaders of the day, who prayed for this purpose, to be seen and heard by men. They basically made prayer just a time of showing off. They wanted the accolades that came from people thinking they were so religious, and they wanted people to talk about them and treat them respectfully when they ran into them out and about. But Jesus says we shouldn't pray that way. Look at verse 6, how Jesus teaches us to pray. He says, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So in contrast to the hypocrites who pray in public to be seen and heard by men, Jesus says we are to get private and we are to pray and be seen and heard by God. So the true purpose of prayer, one of them, is not to be theatrical. It's not to put on a show, but it's to get personal with God. See, when we pray, prayer allows us to fellowship with God. Praying is this intentional seeking of the Lord, talking with the Lord, and spending time with God. We're relating to God when we pray as a son or a daughter to our Heavenly Father. Through prayer, a believer is communing with God personally, intimately, and intentionally. And do you know what happens when we pray? God actually hears us, church, and He draws near. Write this verse down, Psalm 145, verse 18. The psalmist says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him." To all who call upon Him in truth. So when you pray, the Bible affirms to us that God is near to us. And so God wants us praying so we can be in His presence. I want you to think with me, those of you who are married, what if your marriage involved no communication whatsoever? What if you just lived with someone that you never spoke a word to? What would that marriage relationship be like? Could you imagine how disconnected you would feel from your husband or your wife? How far apart you would feel from them if you never spoke a word to them? You never had any kind of meaningful conversation. A marriage that's void of conversation and communication is going to be a marriage that's void of real intimacy and meaningful connection between two people. Similarly, when you have a believer that is not communing through prayer with their Heavenly Father, there's going to be some distance and impersonal feelings between that believer and God. Think of it like this. Prayer is how we go take a walk with the Lord. Prayer is how we spend time with God. Prayer is how we draw close to Him. Prayer is how we fellowship with the Lord. So let me encourage you, knowing that Jesus says, when you pray, you get alone, you spend time with God, and all that matters is that God sees you and hears you, that God wants you to have that time carved out for Him. Let me encourage you, make it your goal to spend time in prayer with the Lord every day. This is how important prayer is. So if you're neglecting praying, then you're neglecting drawing near to God. So make it your goal. I encourage you, spend at least 10 to 15 minutes carving out, scheduling it in, putting it into your day somewhere where you're going to say, I am carving this out where I am going to talk with the Lord and I'm going to have some meaningful connections. So prayer does so much for us. Number one, we see that prayer allows us to fellowship with God. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 150. Psalm 150, it's the last psalm in the book of Psalms. Psalm 150, verse 6. I want you to see in this verse, and also you can be looking there too, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that prayer, secondly, allows us to worship God. Prayer allows us to worship God. Look at Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the psalmist concludes all 150 psalms with this instruction to God's people. Let everyone who has breath give praise to the Lord. Now, if you look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verses 17 and 18, this is what Paul says. Pray without ceasing. So Paul says, God's people ought to have this mindset that we are just in this ongoing, continual, prayerful conversation with God. He says, pray without ceasing. In other words, pray continually, pray constantly. So all of you who are old-fashioned, who grew up with a rotary phone, just don't hang the phone up on God. Just leave it off the hook and just talk to God throughout the day. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. Then he says in verse 18, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So the instructions for God's people to praise and to give thanks shows us that prayer allows us to worship God. When we recognize God for who He is, that's praising Him. We're praising Him for His greatness, for His goodness in His person. When we recognize God for what He's done, that's thanking Him. So we're saying, God, I'm grateful that You've done this and this and that and that. So when we give God what He deserves in praise and in thanksgiving, we are worshiping the Lord. He's due our thanksgiving. He's due our praise. He's due honor and glory and blessing from his people. And so it's through prayer that we're able to obey these instructions to be a people who are thankful and praiseful towards God. Now, let's say you were out traveling around the world and you happened to come across King Charles and Queen Camilla of England. Now, if you saw them, I do not believe you're going to approach them and say, "Hey, dude, what's up, guys?" That's not going to be the way that you would approach a king and a queen. No, if you saw them, the proper response would be, "How are you, Your Majesty? How are you, Your Majesty?" So that word, Your Majesty, it communicates that you understand their power, their position, their authority as people who are royal leaders. Think about this. When we are in a relationship with God through his son Jesus Christ, God is the creator of the universe. He is the king of this world. He is the savior of all mankind. And so what the Bible's telling us is our creator, our savior, our king, he rightfully deserves for his people to recognize his greatness and his goodness, which we express in prayer through praise and thanksgiving. Not to give that to God is to deny God something that is rightfully his from his people. Let everyone who has breath praise the Lord. We are to give God thanks in everything because this is right. So when you pray, make sure you're understanding, God, this is the way that I get to adore you, that I get to love you, that I get to make much of you, because I get to praise you and thank you. So include praising and thanking God as a part of your prayer life. Prayer does so much for us. One, it allows us to fellowship with God. Two, it allows us to worship God. Now, I want you to turn to James chapter 4 with me. James chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I want you to see, thirdly, that prayer allows us to petition God. Prayer allows us to petition God. So James says in chapter 4, 1 through 3 of his epistle, he says, "What is the source of your quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and you cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." So in the context of James, James is writing to his hearers, Christians in various churches, and he's rebuking them for the conflicts, the quarrels, the malice, the envy that's characterizing their congregations. And one writer, he explains it this way. He says, "The terrifying linkage of evil desires and deep and evil deeds in the churches to which James is writing," he says, "it could have been avoided by some with an approach that's quite simple." He says, so all of this sin that's taking place in the church could have been avoided very simply by what? And he said, the answer is prayer. All they had to do was pray. But look what's happening in verse 2. James says, "You do not have because you do not ask." These believers were in a place where they were just refusing to go to God in prayer. They had needs. They needed God to do something in their church, in their own personal lives, but they would not pray and ask God for it. And so clearly we see here that prayer allows us to petition God. When we have a need, when we want God to do something, prayer is the way by which we make requests known unto the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul says this, "Let your requests be made known to God." Church, here's the simple truth. God is sovereign. He has absolute control to do whatever God wants to do. But the Bible also affirms another truth. Man is free. And so sometimes people ask the question, well, if God is sovereign, why do men even need to pray? Let me tell you this. These two truths, sovereignty and freedom, are not contradictory. The Bible tells us they're just twin truths. God knows how those things work out. But here's how things work in the economy of God. God has so determined in his in his divine sovereignty, that there are things that he will not give to his people if they do not ask for it. There are things that will not happen, brothers and sisters, if we do not humbly petition God and ask him to do them. There are things that we won't receive, that we will not get if we do not pray. God has determined to meet needs and to act and to show his power and to provide through the prayers of his people. That's how God works. God's given us prayer so that we can pray and he will provide. I think I shared this several years ago, but a friend of mine told me that later in life, he found out that his sweet sister and her husband struggled so much financially in their lives. They were trying to start a business, and it just was really a hard startup. And she just told him that oftentimes, as some of us have experienced, there's just more months than there is money. And they didn't know how they were going to eat. They didn't know how they were going to provide for the kids, how they were going to pay the bills. And when he heard this, it just broke his heart. And he said, Donald, if my sister would have told me about their struggles, my friend's well off, he said, I would have helped my sister and her husband. I would have given to them. He's a good man, and he's got resources, and he would have loved to have blessed them. But because he didn't know, because they didn't ask, they didn't receive. Church, our God in heaven, he is a good, good heavenly Father. He has all power. He has all resources. There is nothing that is too far for him to grasp. There is nothing that is impossible for him. And yet there are just some things that God is saying, if my people are not humble enough and dependent enough to ask me for in prayer, they're not going to get it. And so this is a call for us to understand that through prayer, we're allowed to petition God, and he wants us to come before him. You see, when you don't pray, prayer is a sign of independence. It's a sign of pridefulness, and it's a sign of mistrust. You're saying, I can do it myself. I don't need God. I don't even have to talk to God about this. But when you pray, prayer is a sign of trust. It's a sign of humility, and it's a sign of dependence, that God, I can't do this without you. And I want you to think about some of the things that Scripture tells us we can pray about. I'm just going to give you a few quick ones. I can't exhaust the Bible on this, but when we pray, you know what? You can pray for wisdom, James 1:5. You can pray for healing when you're sick, James 5:16. You can pray for daily bread, every need you have each day. You can pray to God for that, Matthew 6:11. You can pray for mercy and grace when you just need that from God, Hebrews 4:16. You can pray for God's guidance, Matthew 26:39. You can pray for spiritual strength and spiritual protection, Matthew 26:41, Ephesians 6:19. You can pray for boldness to be able to share the gospel with people who don't know Christ, Ephesians 6:19. You could pray for other people's needs, Philippians 1:9. You could pray for the salvation of other people, that they will understand the gospel and come to know Christ and be saved, Romans chapter 10, verse 1. And guys, the list goes on and on and on. Put simply, whatever you need God to do, you can talk to God about it. You can go to the Lord in prayer, making known your petitions. Let me ask you a question. What is it that you need to happen in your life, that you need help with, that you've not talked to God about? Talk to God about that this morning. Just humble yourself and say, Lord, I've not brought this up. It's a need. I need to see you work. I need you to show up in my life and do this for me. Talk to the Lord about it, because God gives us prayer so that we can fellowship with him, so that we can worship him, so that we can petition him. I want you to look with me in 1 John chapter 1 for a fourth point. 1 John chapter 1. In verse 9, in the chapter of this epistle, James shows us another important function of prayer, something that it does that's so important in our lives. Prayer allows us to confess sin to God. Prayer allows us to confess sin to God. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, John says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we sin as believers, and we all do, when we come to faith in Christ and we believe in Jesus, who he is and what he did for us, God no longer deals with us in a courtroom setting. God transfers us now to the living room setting. We're now in his family. And so there's not this, so to speak, judicial perspective of our relationship with him, but a parental perspective now. We're sons and we're daughters. We're no longer enemies of our Creator where we were before Christ. Now we're sons and daughters. And so even though we've been forgiven the penalty of our sins and we will not go to hell because Jesus took our judgment upon the cross, God is still going to deal with us as sons and daughters based upon how we live for Christ or don't live for Christ. And the Bible's clear. We are going to sin. We're going to disobey God in our thoughts, in our speech, in our desires, in our attitudes, in our actions. And when we sin, when we disobey God in that way, what we owe to God is a confession. We are to own up and say, God, I did this. Anytime our kids disobey us, one of the things we try to be intentional with them about is we sit down with them before there's some kind of a disciplinary consequence. And we're going to say, Titus, Truett, Kinsley, what did you do wrong? We want to hear it from you. Acknowledge to us, what did you do wrong? And then they'll tell us what they did wrong. And then we'll say, now, what is the Bible? We'll say, what does the Bible teach us in this area of life? What should you have done? So we want them to acknowledge their wrong. We want them to know what the Bible says, how they should have been living life in this area. And then we'll say, what should you say? They'll say, Mommy and Daddy, will you forgive me? And then we'll say, yes, we forgive you. But there's still a consequence. So what God wants us to do as his sons and daughters, he wants us to come to him and say, God, Father, I messed up here. It was wrong the way I talked. It was wrong what I got caught up in at work. I shouldn't have gone to that place on Saturday night. I had no business being there, seeing and hearing what I heard. I shouldn't have watched that movie, Father. That really polluted my conscience, and I feel very guilty about it. And whatever it's been, God wants us to acknowledge that sin and then receive the cleansing that he provides through his son, Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Jesus teaches us the same thing in Matthew chapter 6 when he's telling the disciples how to pray. We're to pray, our Father, forgive us of our debts as we forgive others who are indebted to us. And so there is this expectation that we will pray for forgiveness and confess our sins. Prayer is so important because it allows us to confess our sins to God. If you neglect to pray, I want you to listen to me here. If prayer's void in your life, then you're probably walking at a very guilty distance with the Lord. Because we all sin, and if you're not spending time with God in prayer, acknowledging your sins to the Lord and seeking his forgiveness, then that sin is hindering your walk with the Lord. Write this verse down, Psalm 66:18. It tells us that our prayers hinder our walk with the Lord so that the Lord does not hear us. Failure to acknowledge sin and seek God's cleansing indicates that we're not living in close fellowship with the Lord. When I come home from a 3-mile run, I am drenched with sweat. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but the older you get, you don't sweat less, you sweat more. And so I come in, I am dripping sweat. And when I walk into the house, come into the kitchen, Melody doesn't run up to me to hug me. She doesn't say, oh, it's great to see you. How was your run? Do you know what she says to me? She says, hubby, you stink. I mean, I don't believe my wife ever read How to Win Friends and Influence People. Because that's the way she tries to endear herself to me, guys. You stink. And so what do? I take off my clothes, I go upstairs, and I shower. And I get cleaned up. I get that stench off of me, the sweat and the smell from outside. Isaiah 65, verse 5, likens the sin of man to this stench of unpleasant smell of smoke that rises up into the nostrils of God. Our sin, so to speak, it stinks to high heaven in the eyes of a holy God. And so God wants us to acknowledge our sin to him. And he's so ready to forgive us because Jesus has already paid the price for that sin. And when we confess it, He washes us and he applies the blood of Christ and makes us clean in his sight. So is there a sin in your life, or sins, because there's been prayerlessness in your life that you haven't confessed to the Lord? God wants you to see the importance of praying to him, because he intends for prayer to be the way that you confess your sin and get right with him. Yeah. Lastly, I want you to see in a variety of verses, but let's go back to Matthew chapter 6, to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We'll conclude here with and I'll mention a few other verses. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. When we survey the New Testament, just the New Testament alone, there is one command after another command after another command for believers to be prayerful. Just one command after the other. In Matthew chapter 6, as Jesus is teaching on prayer, the expectation is not if you pray, but it's when you pray. So Jesus is telling us that believers in him, they pray. Disciples of Jesus, they're to be a prayerful people. Look at his instruction in verse 9. He says, pray then in this way. So Jesus gives a command. He says, pray. This is the way you are to pray. And he goes on to tell us what elements should be included in our prayer lives. But he says, this is what you're to do. You are to be a praying people. Now I want you to listen to Luke 18:1. Jesus told a parable to teach his disciples that at all times we ought to pray and not to lose heart. Romans chapter 12, verse 12, Paul tells us, be devoted to prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, a verse we looked at earlier, Paul says to pray without ceasing. We are to just walk in this atmosphere of prayer before the Lord. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. When we consider just these verses and not a plethora of other verses that teach us to pray, we come to this conclusion that one of the great things prayer does in our lives is prayer allows us to mature spiritually. It's an essential part of our spiritual growth in our walk with the Lord. God gives it to us as a means to become more like Christ. Christ prayed, Christ commands us to pray, and so through praying, we become more like Jesus. We grow in sanctification and develop spiritually. If you were to take your child to the doctor and they ran a panel of blood tests, and it came back on those blood tests that there was a deficiency of vitamin D, that's a big deal. You don't want to be deficient in vitamin D. Because vitamin D is essential for physical growth so that a child's growth won't be stunted. I want you to think about this connection with us spiritually. If there is a deficiency of prayer in a believer's life, you don't pray, then you're not spiritually healthy. There is a deficiency there that's going to keep you from growing to be like Jesus in the way that God desires for your life. Prayer, along with reading the Bible and obeying God's commands, living missionally and faithfully engaging and serving in the church, prayer fosters spiritual growth in the life of the believer. So if your prayer life is spiritually deficient this morning, this is just an area to go to God today and say, God, this is not good. And I'm coming to acknowledge it before you that I've neglected prayer, but I want to, with the help you give me moving forward, I want to start taking serious steps so that I can get to a place where this is not something that I'm omitting, but this is something that I'm seeking in my life, and I want to be healthy in every way I can spiritually, because prayer is a priority that I'm clinging to moving forward. Prayer, it does so much more for us than we often realize. It allows us to fellowship with God, worship God, petition God, confess sin to God, and to mature spiritually. Several years ago, I made some abrupt and just serious changes to my diet because of some things that came back on blood work. And so I adopted this grain-free, dairy-free Mediterranean diet, and I've been on it now for 5-6 years. After making those changes to the food that I was putting in my body, inflammation started to calm down. because my body was reacting to foods I was eating, and my body just did not sync well with the things I was putting into my system. So inflammation started to die down. I started to be more energized. I started to sleep better. My spleen and my liver, which were swelling, the swelling went down, and they went back to normal size. Other parts of my blood tests started leveling out. Everything started clearing up. I want to tell you guys, I never realized up until that point in my life how much food affects things in our lives. I just didn't realize all the stuff that the right food does to a body. We just don't often realize as believers how much prayer affects us spiritually and all the good things that God intends for in our lives. If you haven't heard anything else I've said and the application points that we've talked about, let this sermon just be a call for you to say, I am going to start praying and seeking the Lord each day. God desires that from you. Prayer will make such a difference in your life. And if you're here this morning or you're watching online, you need to understand something. For you to be able to pray, you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the one that connects us sinners in this great chasm between sinners and God through his cross. And you can't get to God. You can't pray to God. Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount, when we pray, we're to pray our Father. That implies there's a relationship in place. If you want to pray, you have to have a relationship with God. The Bible teaches us our sin separates us from God. We're all prone to sin. We have this nature and we act on it. And so we're under God's judgment and we deserve separation from him and punishment in a place called hell. But through Jesus coming down from heaven as the Son of God and taking on flesh and living a sinless life and dying on the cross to pay our sin debt and rising from the dead, we are able to be forgiven of our sins and restored to a right relationship with God and rescued from the judgment we deserve when we will place our faith in him and turn from our sin. When we do that, the Bible tells us that God accepts us as a son or a daughter. And so that's the call to you this morning. If you're watching online and you need that relationship with God because you're separated from him because of sin, just text the word Lakeland to the number at the bottom of the screen and we'll reach out to you. And if you're here this morning, we're gonna have ministers down front. If you've never trusted in Christ, we will be glad to talk with you about taking next steps and what it looks like to get your life right with the Lord. Will you please stand with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to just look at all the things that prayer does in our lives. Lord, help us to be encouraged and renewed. Lord, just at our passion, Lord, just to carve out time to talk with you and to be with you, to pray. Prayer is so much more than just having a conversation. You intend to do so many good things through it in our lives. God, draw us to Jesus this morning if we don't know you. God, help us to confess sin if there's something that we've not gotten right with you in a long time concerning. God, if there's a need, help us just to have a humble talk and say, Lord, this is what I need you to provide me with. Whatever it is, God, work in our hearts that we may respond. And we ask it in the matchless name of Jesus.